Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, ICE arrests in Georgia haven't been making splashy headlines, but they are happening. Governor Kemp is asking lawmakers to restore SNAP funds that were cut by the federal government. And former Atlanta Brave Andrew Jones may be elected to baseball's Hall of Fame tonight.
Into left field. Well hit. Strawberry back at the wall. Another home run for Andrew Jones.
Today's Tuesday, January 20th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Violent scenes of immigration enforcement in major cities across the U.S. have been topping headlines and filling social media feeds. But while evidence of action like that in Georgia is sparse, immigration arrests here are happening, even more often than the places making headlines every day. GPB's Grant Blankenship explains why.
It's the Sunday after Renee Good's killing by an Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer, and a crowd is gathered in Macon's Tattnall Square Park protesting.
Make some noise! Get back
here! In Minneapolis, the whistles mean ICE is here. But in this park, there's no one from ICE to raise this alarm. But that doesn't mean ICE officers aren't arresting people in Georgia. According to ICE data curated by the Deportation Data Project at the University of California, Berkeley, Georgia is just outside the top 10 U.S. states for immigration arrests per capita, at least through last October. Minnesota is number 36. California, 25th.
I'm surprised we're not more, but it doesn't surprise me at all.
That's Georgia immigration attorney Charles Cook. Cook says that's because for Georgia, the recent immigration surge is really a return to form.
Normal operations, normal detentions, occasional larger group pickups at a job site. None of that is unusual dating back to the Clinton administration.
Neither unusual nor illegal. What's new is Georgia's cooperation with federal immigration officers. Attorney Samantha Hamilton says the engine behind that cooperation has a name.
So in 2024, the Georgia General Assembly passed a law called the Georgia Criminal Alien Track and Report Act,
also known as HB 1105. Under federal law, local cooperation with immigration officers is optional. Under HB 1105, Georgia law enforcement are mandated to cooperate to some extent. About a third of Georgia arrests appear to be from local law enforcement turning people over to ICE.
I think it is working as intended. HB 1105 is also maybe the main reason why Georgia has not looked necessarily quite like Minneapolis or Chicago or LA, where these like massive performative raids are happening.
Vice President J.D. Vance has said you're only seeing what he calls chaotic ICE raids, where local officials fight federal law enforcement. And Charles Cook says Georgia is not fighting.
There's no need for ICE to stir up the communities here.
Only about 10% of the immigration arrests in Georgia through October 2025 are listed as so-called custodial arrests, a.k.a. ICE in the streets, getting people themselves. The biggest source of ICE success in Georgia are arrests recorded as something called non-detained docket. Samantha Hamilton.
If they're on the non-detained docket, it means that they are in removal proceedings, but they're not detained.
Meaning people who have immigration cases are known to the system, but who are living out here in the world.
A lot of people are being detained at their check-ins.
Or when they go to immigration court. But Samantha Hamilton says that's no less traumatic than being taken in the street.
The act of, you know, someone being snatched from their family, like, you know, disappeared for hours, you know, not knowing like where they were going to be taken. Like that is also like an act of violence.
Charles Cook.
Man I talked to yesterday was picked up with his wife, who's just becoming a resident, his kids who are citizens, his grandkids are citizens, who has committed no crime other than working. That's life destroying. That's family destroying.
Even, say Cook and Hamilton, when we can't see it. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
GPB's Chase McGee contributed to this story. Georgia State University students held a walkout today to protest federal immigration raids across the U.S. GPB's Amanda Andrews has more from the event.
About 100 students gathered in the cold at Georgia State University Library Plaza for the protest. It comes in response to ICE fatally shooting and killing Minnesota mom Renee Good in her car in Minnesota. Speakers at the protest focused on the importance of unity, education, and collective action. Logan Castillo is a freshman at GSU. He says protests bring people out of online bubbles.
Especially with social media nowadays, it feels like no one cares. And it feels like extremism is simply so rampant. And it feels like common sense is just lost. I believe that these showings, that showing and getting together with all these people shows that, you know, there is still decency.
Protests also took place at three other universities and two high schools in the Atlanta metro area. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
A Mexican national died earlier this month while in ICE custody at a detention facility in Lovejoy, Georgia. Heber Sanchez Dominguez died January 14th at the Robert A. Dayton Detention Facility in Clayton County. The Mexican consulate in Atlanta says officials there have contacted the man's family. ICE says his cause of death is under investigation. The facility is privately owned by Clayton County and operated by the for-profit prison company Geo Group. This marks the first death in ICE custody in Georgia this year and the fifth nationwide in 2026. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp is asking state lawmakers to restore anti-hunger funding cut by the federal government. According to The Current, Kemp's budget proposal seeks $46 million to replace lost federal support for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, which serves more than 1 in 10 Georgians. The cuts stem from legislation signed by President Trump last July that reduced federal support for state SNAP staff from 50% to 25%. The money would help pay the salaries of more than 3,000 caseworkers who administer the program. Georgia will participate in a federal school vouchers tax program. Governor Kemp made the announcement today. The program gives taxpayers a $1,700 tax credit if they donate to a K-12 scholarship-granting organization. Speaker of the House John Burns says he supports the program.
This means more resources will flow directly to students who need them the most, creating more opportunities and empowering more families in our state to make the best educational decisions for themselves and their children.
The federal program is separate from the Georgia Promise Scholarship, which provides Georgia students in low-performing public schools a $6,500 scholarship to attend private school. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the ongoing La Niña system is coming to an end. GPB's Chase McGee has more on what overall weather conditions might look like this year.
The U.S. has gone back and forth between La Niñas and neutral conditions for the last few years, bringing warmer and drier than average winters. Pam Knox is the director of the UGA Weather Network. She says we could be moving towards an El Niño for the first time in years.
We are likely to see the jet stream come and park over us, which means more rain, more clouds, and cooler temperatures just because we're not getting as much sunshine.
Knox says the end of La Niña could bring some relief to Georgia's agriculture industry, since the state has been pretty dry since August of last year. That'll depend on how much rain we get in these neutral conditions before April 1st, the start of the growing season. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
A massive weather front could bring freezing rain, snow, and ice to some parts of north and central Georgia this weekend. Governor Brian Kemp says it is never too early to start preparing for severe weather.
We'll be prepared, treating roads, having teams ready. Hopefully we get snow and not ice. But Director Lamb, the rest of our team is on it.
Icy conditions can inhibit travel and cause power outages. Kemp says Georgia Emergency Management is monitoring the situation and will have more details later in the week. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell will attend U.S. Supreme Court's oral arguments tomorrow in a case involving the attempted firing of Fed Governor Lisa Cook. That's according to the Associated Press. It's an unusual show of support by the central bank chair. The high court is considering whether President Donald Trump can fire Cook, who has Georgia ties, in an unprecedented attempt by the White House to remove an official appointed by former President Joe Biden. Property tax increases on Georgia homeowners could be limited to the inflation rate under a new bill introduced by state Senate Republicans. The bill would include limits for taxes for education. This, after most school systems decided against capping property tax hikes last year. About 71% of Georgia's 180 school systems voted last year to reject the cap as allowed by state law. This year's bill would change that law and prevent school systems from opting out of the cap. Republican supporters of the measure say it will provide relief for those experiencing double-digit tax increases, but some opponents argue that education expenses would still rise, and school districts have no choice but to rely on property taxes to fund education. Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones says the property tax bill is a priority for this year's legislative session. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers is working on legislation to protect Georgia's struggling timber industry. House Majority Leader, Mulberry Republican Chuck Evstration, says the industry could receive a big tax break if the General Assembly passes and voters approve an end to the sales tax on timber. He says that would cost the state government up to $18 million a year. Georgia forestry suffered heavy losses when Hurricane Helene struck in 2024, and three South Georgia paper mills closed in 2025. Governor Brian Kemp will lead a Georgia trade mission to Belgium this week. The governor's office said today that Kemp, Georgia First Lady Marty Kemp, and officials from the State Department of Economic Development will meet with leaders of Belgian companies with existing or planned operations in Georgia. Those companies include heavy equipment manufacturer JCB, which has a plant in Savannah. The state's total trade with Belgium was nearly $5 billion in 2024. Savannah's historic Lucas Theater is closed while the theater deals with an infestation of bats. The Savannah College of Art and Design, which manages the 1921 landmark, said today the bats were discovered in the theater's rafters and have not caused any harm. The college said it's working with a wildlife management company to, quote, humanely remove them in compliance with state and federal wildlife protections. Performances there will be moved until the theater is safe to reopen, which could be as early as next week. Last year, SCAD completed a six-month, $4 million renovation of the Lucas, a cultural icon that shut down in 1976, only to be revived in 2000. In sports, former Atlanta Braves center fielder Andrew Jones appears on track to gain election to the Baseball Hall of Fame tonight. As of Monday night, Jones had been picked on 83% of ballots revealed early on Ryan Thibodeau's online vote tracker, surpassing the 75% needed for induction. Jones was a five-time All-Star and earned 10 gold gloves in 17 seasons with Atlanta and other teams. Jones also holds the World Series home run record for being the youngest player ever to hit a home run in the Fall Classic, and not just once. In Game 1 of the 1996 World Series, at 19 years and 184 days old, he hit two home runs in his first two World Series at-bats.
Into left field, well hit, Strawberry back at the wall, another home run for Andrew Jones.
Another outstanding center fielder, Carlos Beltran, is also expected to make it in. The Baseball Writers Association will announce the Hall of Fame inductees tonight at 6 on the MLB Network. And that is a wrap on Georgia Today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you'll come back tomorrow. The best way to remember to do that, of course, is to subscribe to this podcast. So do that now while you're thinking about it, and you won't miss a thing. If you want to check out updates to these stories or find out what's new, go to gpb.org/news. And if you've got feedback for us or want to let us know about something happening in your community, send us an email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.